You're listening to Alan Brazil Up Front, exclusively on Audio Boom. Welcome, it's Alan Brazil on Audio Boom. Special guest today, Ray Parler. How are you, Ray?
How you doing, Al? Very good indeed.
Now, you must be delighted with that result from the Emirates. I was flicking between two games, Ray, from Chelsea to Arsenal. Every time I flicked back to the Arsenal, it was Bayern going forward. Well, so it was a hell of a result.
Well, the good thing about Arsenal is they change a different formation, really. You know, the way they play, the style of football. Everybody expects Arsenal to go out there and play, you know, this expansive football and attacking football. But really, they sat back, let Bayern Munich have the ball. And in the end, they knew their fullbacks would bomb on. And Theo Walcott, got the, you know, he was superb in that first half. Maybe his end product wasn't good enough. But certainly the way he moved and running in behind the defenders was a real problem for Bayern Munich. But, you know, it was a great night. They needed to win. We know that. The first goal is always important, them sort of games. And I think, you know, it just showed you how important the goalkeepers are.
Yeah.
Neuer makes that great save in the first half for Walcott. Obviously, Petr Cech made some brilliant saves all through the game. More or less saying that, you know, he should have played in the first two games in the Champions League. And then obviously Neuer, which you don't expect, makes a real bad mistake.
First goal.
And there was Giroud who just was come on the pitch to put it in the back of the net. And after that, you know, they always looked like, look, can we hold on? 1-0 was perfect for us.
And as I say, I kept switching over from the Chelsea game and they seemed to be going okay. And I went back to the Arsenal. Every time I went back, as this fell on the ball, I'm like, who is this guy? Costa.
Oh,
what
yeah.
a good player.
Well, what a signing. Absolute, what a signing. I didn't see a lot of him, but obviously Dynamo Kiev before. Looks a real player. Absolutely different class. I mean, the way he runs with the ball, the way he just drops his shoulder and goes past players. Bellerin is very quick.
Yeah, and he slaughtered him.
And that first half, he had a tough time against him. Then he swapped wings, and I thought Monreal for Arsenal, that's one of his best games he's played in an Arsenal shirt. But he looks a real talent.
That was a tonic. You know, Arsenal looked dead and buried. And for an hour, I thought, they can't win this. They're going out. So what a boost that is.
Massive boost. And I think it was a lot more important to win it for Arsenal than it was Bayern Munich.
Yeah.
With a points tally, I think if Bayern Munich had won, that was it. End of.
And the only downer of the night, I think, was Olympiacos winning away from home. They went to the Emirates and beat Arsenal. We thought it was a fluke. They've won again. And, of course, the last group in the game, next up for Arsenal, Munich. The last group, they have to go to Athens and take on Olympiacos. And I've got a feeling they might have to beat them.
Well, you look at it. Another downside was Ramsey. He looks like he's going to be out for 4 or 5 weeks now. Hamstring pull. But as you rightly say, Olympiacos scoring, I think it was about the 80th minute. That would have been perfect if that was a draw. You know, everybody, they would have been on 4 points. Arsenal on three. They got Dynamo Zagreb at home, which you expect Arsenal to win. I know we expected to beat Olympiacos, but you definitely expect that. And then obviously that it really sets the last game up. I mean, what a game that will be in Greece. I'm sure the Arsenal fans now are buying their tickets, trying to get tickets and trying to get their accommodation, because that could come down to whoever wins that game goes through to the knockout stages. And
so that's great news for the Arsenal. And they've got some big games coming up, of course. Things are going nice at the moment. And as you say, the only problem is with Bayern Munich, they've got Robben and Ribery to come back.
Well, the thing about what I didn't see from Bayern Munich was Müller. You know, how important is he for Bayern Munich?
But
he was playing on the right
hand
side.
He came inside his left foot and hit one just past the far post. But he's a danger. And Lewandowski, you know, he's normally absolutely clinical.
Mm.
So he's going to be a threat in Germany.
Of course he is. I mean, they've got some great players. Thiago in midfield, Alonso, lots of experience. So be interesting to see what happens, because Müller might come inside. If Robin expected to be fit in that second game, he's probably come back into side straight away. Müller might go into the middle where he's more dangerous. When he's got a free role, he seems to be a player that can make space, get into the box at the right times and know exactly, anticipates where the ball's going to drop a lot of the time in the box. So their second game in Munich should be a cracker. And I think Arsenal now, if you can get a draw out of the game, they'll be pretty happy with that.
Well, we said 3 points from somewhere, but if they can get, you know, if they can get a draw now, four, brilliant, as you say, with that last game to come. And then what about Chelsea? Chelsea, Jose, hopefully doesn't get in trouble again, but again, very critical of the referee.
Mm.
Hit the woodwork a couple of times. And, of course, the Fabregas penalty looked an absolute cert penalty. Not given.
A little bit unlucky. I was at the Stamford Bridge at the weekend against Aston Villa. They got the result they needed. You know, it wasn't a great game, but that was important. They kept a clean sheet after the goals they conceded this season. But But then, you know, these Champions League games are tough. You know, you're going away from home. Ukraine is an odd place to play. And I think Jose, you know, he'd be disappointed because how well they play. They played a lot better than what they have been playing lately.
Brought back Hazard.
Hazard was different class. Hazard was one of his best games this season. So that is a positive.
He did that last year, if you remember, Ray, because we're all shocked. Player of the year, he dropped Hazard and said, no, you don't work hard enough. And he come back and he was back to his brilliant self. So maybe he needs a little kick up the backside.
Well, the dilemma they've got at the moment, Al, is fullbacks. Ivanovic is out. Azpilicueta has been playing right back. And Baba's come in. Romain is coming on the left-hand side. Now, against Aston Villa, he was all over the place. He looked too quick for him and he's out of position. And then the Champions League game, he swapped him right back over. Azpilicueta went back to left back. And that's where Zouma come in at right back. And he's not a right back. So that area there...
He's a bouncer.
He's a problem.
He's on the ball, I tell you. I must admit, I thought he was going to be better than what he's proved. He's a big, strong lad. He's game. But he's a bit Dolly Dimple.
So that might be...
With the ball at feet. Dear, oh dear.
Well, that's the problem they've got. I mean, who they play right back at the moment. So be interesting to see what they do at the weekend. Got a tough game. I mean, you know, going to Upton Park. Upton Park. If anything, though, Upton Park has been he's not been like a fortress like it used to be for West Ham. You know, they struggled this year. Bournemouth losing, Leicester, Norwich drawing. Away from home is where West Ham have been so good. Crystal Palace, great result of the weekend for West Ham. Going to the Etihad, obviously the Anfield and the Emirates.
Yeah.
Getting some great points there. So, you know, absolutely different class. But it'd be a tough game for Chelsea weekend.
We've got some great games coming up. We've got the Manchester Derby and, of course, the Manchester clubs. Two tricky games.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you look at the games and coming thick and fast. And this is where you need a squad. This is where you need your key players fit.
United in Russia. Got to come all the way back. City at home to Seville. So
plastic pitch as well, Al, doesn't
that
help.
That is a disgrace.
Yeah, but that should have.
I played on that in 1978. I was over in America, and
Would have been different, wouldn't it? Yours would have been more of a concrete based.
Yeah,
not like the 3G, 4G what they got with the rubber chippings and whatever.
Nothing like that. That's I think.
Yours must bounce. Yours proper bounce. They proper bounce.
Oh, I was at QPR. It bounced over into the school next door.
He go over.
Dave Seaman would launch one. Yeah, he was our keeper.
Yeah.
We spoke to him today, didn't we?
You did.
He'd launch one, boing, it was in the school.
Yeah, so that's the big thing. Do you know what I'm really surprised? Look, I'm sure they would have done in at Carrington. They got a same sort of pitch to play on. But they went late, didn't they?
We had good players, one touch, you know, and if your touch is good in them pitches,
it's
the centre-backs, it's defenders, the old hod carriers.
Yeah.
They can't play in them pitches, but we could, Ray.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know about that, Al, but, you know, I didn't plan really a lot of plastic pitches. I was pretty lucky. I missed that era. I mean, but what's it? You had Luton, didn't you? QPR, Oldham.
Yeah,
Oldham was one as well.
No,
so they had a few pitches, but I think I missed them pitches.
So Old Trafford, Man United City, the other big one, of course, Sunderland against Newcastle. Newcastle got the first win last week. So that's going to be a cracking game for Big Sam.
Well, huge win for Steve McClaren. He was desperate for that. Six goals is a bonus.
You played under Steve. You
liked
him as a coach.
He's a good coach, very good coach. I mean, he's trying to get his his ideas probably across to Newcastle players. Sometimes it takes time. To get into
he's
the
got his Geordie accent yet?
Not yet. Really no, goes. he's not. He's
back with different accents.
Well, the Geordie accent's fantastic, isn't it? So I'm sure he's learning it. He was only down the road, wasn't it, Middlesbrough, which is a different accent again. But yeah, a massive, massive game for both teams. The record says that Sunderland have got a better record against Newcastle. And Sam, you know, the weekend a little bit unlucky. Decision when he's away, lost 1-0 against West Bromwich Albion. And Sam will be working so hard this week. This is the first week where, you know, you're not at the international get-togethers. He can really work it with his team formation, what sort of set-up he's going to play against Newcastle. And there's one thing about Newcastle, they're not bad going forward, but they do give you chances. And I think Sam will look at it and say, can we take one of them chances? Then can we shut up shop like we did against West Bromwich Albion, keep a clean sheet? So it'd be an interesting game. I mean, looking into it, I think Sunderland probably got a slight advantage being at home. But Newcastle coming off scoring six will be full of confidence.
Yeah. Villa, they take on Swansea, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it's a game, really, I'm thinking, Swansea haven't won in six. This has got to be 3 points.
Well, after this,
it could be bye-bye to him.
Yeah, no one likes to see managers getting sacked and under pressure. But certainly, Tim is under pressure. Look, every manager in the Premier League is under pressure, really looking at the fixtures and what's at stake, especially this season with a new TV money coming in next season. Everybody needs to stay in that Premier League. So, look, I was at the game at the weekend against Chelsea, and I thought the first half an hour were very good. He must have been sitting on the bench. He was just in front of me where I was watching the game as well. And he must have been so pleased with his players, the way that they adapted to Stamford Bridge, the way they was playing. They was confident. They passed the ball. They got into a tackle. Then all of a sudden, you know, your player makes a mistake like Guzan did, the goalkeeper. And yeah. As a manager, it must be so frustrating to look at that and say, well, we were doing so well, and then suddenly we're 1-0 down against Chelsea at Stamford Bridge, which is tough to come back from. So, you know, it take positives out of the game. He lost the game, we know. He didn't score a goal which they needed. But I think he'd be very positive with the first 30 minutes, and hopefully that will go into this game in the weekend. But if you look at their fixtures, Al, they've got Swansea at home this weekend. Mm-hmm. For me, they've got to win. They've got to win this game because they've got Tottenham away, Man City, then go to Villa Park. So some real tough games coming up for
also,
Tim.
Also, a couple of crackers as well. Arsenal-Everton, you know, the Arsenal are going to be flying. Everton got battered.
Mm.
It was a funny old day that was against United, you know, the death of Howard Kendall.
Yeah.
You had the policeman who got mowed down by that idiot. His family were there. So it was it was a strange atmosphere at Goodison. Normally the place is rocking for United. And United took advantage. Well, bang, bang, bang.
Exactly. And they were
so
fantastic.
You know, so they come to the Emirates. And I would imagine, I know they're a tough side to break down, but Arsenal must be looking at that 3 more points.
Well,
hopefully Man City will slip up or draw with United and Arsenal gain ground again.
Well, they've been a big high. I mean, they've got an extra day to recover as well. They're not playing tonight like United and City. So it's a situation where, you know, they've got they'll be in today training, Arsenal, just trying to recover from last night. The players who would have played will be doing warm downs, and the players who won't play will be out on the pitch, you know, doing a bit of training. But Everton coming to town, they need to do exactly what Manchester United did. They lost 3-0 at the Emirates. Next game, they bounced back and got a good win. And so Martinez will be looking at his players and saying, right, who's the characters in this team? Who's going to really stand up? I know they just beat Bayern Munich, but we're coming here. We've had that extra little bit of rest. Can we take advantage of that? And be interested to see what happens and what formations they pick and what personnel, because sometimes Arsenal will look at it and say, is it worth giving them a little rest? Sanchez is working hard at the moment, and he'd love to give him a rest probably. Ozil was working hard against Bayern Munich. So it'd be interested to see the formations and the selections from Arsenal.
It's another good game for two different reasons. Liverpool, who had a good performance at White Hart Lane under Jurgen Klopp, and he takes on, for me, Ronald Koeman is a great boss. I think he's doing a super, super duper deal with Southampton. Can Southampton go and get anything at Anfield?
Well, again, it's going to be the Jurgen Klopp show at Anfield, which is, you know, great. You know, he's going to get a great reception from the Kop and everybody involved in Liverpool Football Club. I think it was a different sort of, you know, the way they played against Spurs. I thought the pressing straight away, I could just see the players were, you know, closing down better.
And he wants more. He said, Lallana can give me another 20%.
Yeah, it was a brilliant game because that's exactly the same what Pochettino's trying to do. Get a pressing game. And I thought it was a really well-matched game. I think Spurs had chances to win the games as well as Liverpool did in that first half. But I think, you know, I think he'd do a good job. I mean, you look at managers, there's not a lot of good quality managers out there. And
there's a feel-good factor. On the bench, he was smiling a lot, applauding the players, applauding the fans. I think they've suddenly found a little bit of, we're going places now, we've got the right game.
Al, you've been a player yourself. It's all about wanting to play for your manager. It's all about enjoying what you're trying to get out of, you know, training sessions and taking it into the weekend. Again, I'm sure they've been working very hard this week with trying to get to, you know, he'll be looking at the squad and his staff will be looking at the squad saying, well, yeah, he can do a great job. If we want to play like that, he can do that job. And what it is, when you get a new manager in, it's a great opportunity for players who've not been playing on a regular basis to say, yeah, this is my chance now to get back into that first team or get back into the manager's thinking to say, well, I can do that job. Give me a chance. And if he gives, you know, I'm sure he's one of the managers, if you give a player a chance and he does a good job, he'd be in the following week. And
Ray, just have a little think for me about the bottom of the table, because we talked about Tim Sherwood. And as I said earlier, Villa against Swansea. And I think they've got to get 3 points.
Yeah, really,
there's a lot of unrest now with the fans. The other clubs who I think are going to, I think Norwich could be sucked in. They're at home to West Brom. They need 3 points. Stoke had a good win, didn't they?
They did. Against Swansea.
Against Swansea. They're at home to Watford. Watford have got to start finding some goals. The likes of Troy Deeney, people like that, they've got to find goals. They're going to be sucked in. You've got Newcastle Sunderland who play each other. Bournemouth at home to Spurs. Bournemouth have got crucial, crucial injury problems. Three top players all out for the season.
Well, that's going to be tough for them. I mean, if you talk about losing three top players, Villa did, Delph, Villar and Benteke. But Bournemouth, some key men for them. Callum Wilson, who looked like a player that could be really doing well this season, maybe pushing for an England place if he kept going the way he was. But Bournemouth, you know, I think they've got to rely on their home form. I really do. I mean, their home form's going to be so important. You know, it's a tight little pitch, Dean Court, and they've got to try and take advantage of that and get the atmosphere really rocking now. But it's going to be tough. Look, I think Eddie Howe will definitely look into the market in January. They have to, because their squad's not big enough. It's been really stretched now with the injuries they've had. And it's a shame because you don't want to see that, because like, teams going up, you know, it's going to be hard for them anyway. But when they lose their three key players as well, it's going to be extra hard. So I think Bournemouth will definitely be in that relegation battle towards the end of the season.
I agree.
Watford. What I saw Watford against Arsenal in that first half, they're quite resilient. They had a couple of chances. But as you rightly say, they need to score more goals. They've got to be more clinical in front of goal. But, you know, I think everybody expected probably Arsenal to beat Watford. In that second half, it was a much better performance from Arsenal. But, yeah, you look at Aston Villa, you look at Newcastle, you look at Sunderland. Norwich. I've been quite impressed with Norwich.
Yeah.
I know they got thumped at Newcastle, but before that,
I like the boy Redmond.
Houlihan like as well. Houlihan in that midfield area, he makes it tick as well. And they're pretty solid in midfield, Tetti and people like that. So I think Norwich might be all right, you know. I think if I had to pick one or two out of the ones coming up, it would definitely be Bournemouth first and probably Watford before Norwich.
Another story flying about, Ray, which I'm all for, by the way. And don't get me wrong, you know, when Arsene Wenger had the new training ground, the new stadium, his hands were tied, they had to get the financing. Wembley, the new Wembley's the same. We need the money in. But now we hear that England may take the games back out on the road around the country. I think it's a great idea.
Well, I do as well. I mean, it's great. Logistic-wise, how can people, you know, from the northeast come down, watch an evening game and expect to go to work tomorrow? So I think it's an idea that, look, England's a big place.
What did Parry say?
Oh, Mike Parry, I couldn't believe it. No.
He said Wembley's all about taking your boys or taking your daughter.
But he lives around the corner.
And having 2 days off. You do Madame Tussauds, you see Tower Bridge, you go to the O2, you go... Whoa,
he must have
whoa.
A good job, old Mike.
People have jobs to go
exactly.
To
mortgages tube. To pay in, mortgages.
Yeah, what
and,
a
you
clown,
know.
Honestly.
So, yeah, I think it's a great idea. The atmospheres are great when you go to grounds like Old Trafford and Anfield and
St James's Park
and maybe Norwich City might get a game in that part of the world. So I think it's a great idea, and I'm sure the players would love it. I mean, look, it's great playing at Wembley, there's no doubt. It's a great spectacle to walk out of Wembley Stadium. But it's also better to go around the country and see the fans. And the fans who can't afford maybe to go down to London to watch games, suddenly they can go to a game. And they deserve it as much as anybody. So, you know, I think it's a great idea. Absolutely. And I'm sure the players will really enjoy
it. No, I do. And we spoke to England international today, didn't we? Dave Seaman, who you played with. Believe it or not, I played with him at QPR.
Which I was amazed with.
When I'm at the very end of my career, there's this guy... And from up north, and I couldn't believe it. He'd come in training. We'd all be saying, "Right, where are we going, boys? Bit of lunch, maybe a couple of pints. Day off tomorrow." He'd have his fishing rod with him. And it was the same when you Arsenal boys got on the coach.
We used to play
card school, money on the table. Out come the cards. He's at the back with the angling times.
Yeah,
wasn't
he? Dave was a great lad, though. I mean, you talk about top quality keepers and what keepers can do for you in a season, and it can save you 12 points. Like, look at Cech now. Look at Norway last night. And I put Dave in that category. He was so important for us. But, as you rightly say, loved his fishing. I think he's a fisherman and a golf man now. Golf is his game as well. But Dave used to have his angling times at the back of the coach. And we'd be playing cards, losing all our money out. Like footballers, most footballers do, and then Dave would be in the corner thinking, you know, what bait shall I use the weekend? What pellets shall I buy from the shop? So a little bit different.
What
everybody's different.
What pit am I going to? Just 2.5 hours away. I don't want to travel.
I'm sure the manager was happy though, because you're resting on the side of the bank. You can't do your back in sitting on the bank, can you?
Looking at fishing, didn't he? We're a crate of wine.
I've been fishing with Dave. To be fair, when we went to England, and
you haven't.
I have. We went on a boat, a tryout. And we was fishing for trout, and I was just watching Dave do it. And I didn't realise what was happening. What you do there, Al, you buy a free fish. So, do you know when you catch a fish, and I thought you'd put them back in. But he put them in there. He sort of, what are you doing,
Dave?
We
can eat trout, can't
we? Well, exactly. So we took him in. We caught three fish, and he started rowing in. So where are you going, Dave? We ain't finished yet, have we? I said, no.
You're on their load.
We can pay for three fish. Once you catch them, you got to go back in. But I said, well, Beth, you wanted a bigger one. Can you put that one back in and try and put another one? So I couldn't understand it. I was asking him all these questions. But he took it back to the England training camp, and they cooked it that night. And it was fantastic. So I can see why he does that sort of fishing, because you can eat it. Don't you like a bit of fish?
No, lobster,
off
yeah.
Off the bone.
Bit of lobster, a bit of langoustine, Scottish langoustine, yeah. Oh, trout and all that, lost. No. Nah, horrible.
There's a lot of bones in it, I must admit. But
just a quickie on a serious note, I mentioned earlier about Everton. Howard Kendall, he tried to sign me, I think it was after United. And I remember as a kid, I actually went to Belfield, the training ground, when I was still playing for Celtic Boys. And they invited me down. I was injured, and I got invited to Spurs as well.
Yeah,
obviously played for Spurs. Got a bit, and he tried to sign me for Everton. He was a lovely, what a football man.
Oh,
Alan Ball spoke so highly of Howard Kendall.
Yeah, well, he's an absolute legend. I mean, what he achieved, manager that team in '85, I think it was, wasn't it? When they had a brilliant team, and it was all team
and
spirit.
And a player as well. He was a hell of a player.
Exactly. I just better say that, and probably a player that should probably got England caps. But I met him a couple of times in Everton, whether it was after a game
and
after a game when I played at Goodison, and he was such a nice man, you know.
Tell me the story about Martin Keown when he got the call up.
Oh yeah, Martin, it's a classic. Martin phones me up. Well, this is when he was at Arsenal with me, to be fair. But he got the call up, the all important call up, the first call up to England. So
and he was an Everton player.
He was an Everton player at the time. Yeah. So Howard was very impressed and very pleased for Martin. So how Martin tells the story is that he invited him into the office, said, Martin, I've got some great news. You're going to be in the next England squad.
And he would have known first.
And he would have known first. So Martin would have been so excited. Oh, thanks, boss. I'm so pleased. It's all down to you, the training methods and the way I've improved as a player. And Howard said to him, right, Martin, I think we need to celebrate. So he went, right, get that bottle of champagne there. Let's open it. And Martin was like, no, boss, I need to train. I've got to go training in a minute. He said, don't worry about that. We need to celebrate. About you getting in the next England squad. And that's the sort of man he was. And then Martin in there, having a glass
Howard
of
was old
champagne
school, wasn't
with me. Oh, without doubt.
He would sit down with Shannon, Ball,
but I can imagine
like
the
that.
Team spirit, Al. The team spirit was so good. And do you know what it is for me? You got to play for your manager more than anything. You know, when you're feeling tired that last 10 minutes, let's do it for the manager. And I think that's what players did for Howard. And I think the team spirit, I think Reedy, I know Peter Reed very well, and he speak so highly, and look, they had their ructions in the dressing room, but it was all about doing it for your manager. And Howard was such a great man, and
he wasn't a ranter either.
That's why it was such a strange atmosphere the weekend. And
yeah, I heard
Everton,
that
it really affected Everton.
Gutted.
I think it affected the fans and the players and everybody involved in Everton Football Club. And I think Manchester United took advantage of that. So what a great man, though.
A great loss, Ray. I look forward to the weekend. Cannot wait. Some big games. Thank you, pal.
Cheers, Al.
Brought to you by Audioboom.